You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Brothers and sisters, what is a demon? The good angels made a free decision to love and serve God, but not all the angels chose this. There are fallen angels, and they want all of creation to fall with them and share in their own misery. It's important to have a good understanding of the fallen angels and to let such knowledge fortify our own decision to love and serve God. So in the past few weeks, during this month, we've learned about holy angels, who they are, why they were created, what powers they have, and what roles they have to fill and glorify the Lord, right? And the fact that they are warriors of the Lord, the good angels' role as warriors, right? And it also exposes a grim conflict. Who is their enemy? Why does this conflict even exist? Well, those who oppose the holy angels are fallen angels who rebelled against God. That's what demons are, corrupt angels. They are not mere human concepts or symbols of evil. They are real, fallen, angelic persons. The leader of these evil spirits is known by various names, although the devil and Satan are the most common. The name Satan has Hebrew origins and means accuser or an adversary. Satan does not exist of his own accord. He was created by God, for all things came into being through God, and without him, not one thing came into being. God created him out of love, as he created all the angels. He created him to share in his divine life and to receive all that was good. Okay? Theologians believe that Satan was the first hierarchy of angels from the choir of cherubim specifically, and that he may have been the most powerful angel in the heavenly host. What happened then? If Satan, like all the angels, were created good, powerful, beautiful, and with such honored place in the nine choirs, how could such gifts result in perversion and the loss of heaven? What happened? What happened was Satan's renunciation through his own free choice of his place by the throne of God. So earlier we learned about the holy angels. I mentioned that they had been tested. All the angels were given the opportunity to choose love and to serve God or to reject him. God did not create them in order to compel them to love him. He gave these spirits the dignity and the responsibility of a free will. Satan and some others with him made use of this free will to reject the Creator. You can find scripture in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 392. Scripture speaks of a sin of these angels. This fall consists in the free choice of these created spirits who radically and irrevocably rejected God and his reign. But why? Why would they reject God? Divine revelation has not provided the details, the precise details, either in Scripture or in church teaching. However, the fathers and theologians of the church have proposed two possible reasons. Both of them are pointing to the terrible sin of pride as the cause. One theory is that Satan desired to be independent from and equal to God. And in this sense, the devil was rebelling against his very own nature as a creature dependent on God. Having been created out of nothing, he certainly couldn't be equal to God. The second theory is that God shared with the angels his future plan regarding the incarnation of Jesus Christ, and some of them resented it. Okay? So when Satan and his fellow insurgents rejected God, well, the consequence was immediate. There in Book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. All right? So the fallen angels have forsaken angelic goodness. They are now referred to as demons and devils. And having rejected all that is true, good, and beautiful, for such things are found only in God, they exist in misery and torment. Their hell is eternal. The fact that the angels were given one opportunity to make a choice with everlasting consequences may seem strangely unjust to us, but yet we wonder whether the demons would repent of their decision if they were only given the chance to do so. We are aware that God has given human beings a lifetime in which to repent and to try again. We might feel that the angels ought to have been given the same opportunity. But this is a misplaced compassion arising from misunderstanding. It shows that we think, incorrectly, by the way, that angels are like ourselves, our own human experience of thinking with our mental processing, struggle to collect necessary information, uncertainty of consequence, and regret for negative results. It's foreign to the experience of the angels. Okay? The angels don't have to go through this process. With them, there are no trials because there are no errors. The humble human mind, no matter if it belongs to the most brilliant of men, cannot conceive of the vast superiority, the power, and the perfect knowledge of the angelic intellect. Angels do not process ideas into a conclusion. They do not struggle to reason through a situation. When they made their choice, they were not suffering from lack of understanding, some bad education, interior wounds inflicted by others, or an intellect darkened by human sin. They were created in perfection, brothers and sisters, lacking absolutely nothing. Satan and his cohort understood the situation absolutely, in its entirety, including what would be the consequences and the repercussions of the rebellion. They knew better and made their decision anyway. They have no desire to repent of what they have done. The demons hate mankind in a way that surpasses our own comprehension. We are created in the image of God, brothers and sisters, and they hate God, and we are beneath them by nature, and yet God has made us, you and me, his children and heirs of the kingdom of heaven. The demons want our souls in hell. They want us to be as miserable as they are, to be anxious, to be stressed out, to be worried, to be jealous, to hide, to lie, to cheat. And they loathe creation, for it is good and it is God's. Satan wages perpetual war against us and pursues us with mortal hatred, right? Should we be afraid of the demons? No. We should, however, be aware of them and their power. Be sober and alert, said the first pope, St. Peter, and resist the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. In order to be aware of the demons, we should have a basic understanding of their power. In order not to live in fear of them, we need to understand the limitations of that power, brothers and sisters. So we're going to look at that right now. So are you hanging in there with me, everybody? Good, good, good job. Good job. All right. So here we are. The power and limitations of demons. All right. Yesterday, we just learned about the rebellion of certain members of the angelic hosts, okay? Satan and his followers do have influence on mankind, okay? They exert ceaseless effort, okay? I'm going to say that sentence better. They exert ceaseless effort to undermine and subvert Christ's holy church as she works to save souls. The catechism is very clear on this point. It's 391 and 394. Behind the disobedient choice of our first parents lurks a seductive voice opposed to God, which makes them fall into death out of envy. Scripture witnesses to the disastrous influence of the one Jesus calls a murderer from the beginning. In its consequences, the gravest of these works was the mendacious seduction that led man to disobey God. So the power of these enemies is great, their courage undaunted, their hatred of us enormous and unmeasured. They also wage against us a perpetual war, so that with them there can be no peace, no truce. To ignore this war is to lose it. There are many who, because they don't feel the assaults of demons against them, imagine that the whole matter is fictitious. Well, that's a big mistake. Although the church warns us, her children, about the assaults of demons and the disastrous influence of the enemy, she also reminds us that the demons are mere creatures. The devil is not a rival to God. God is almighty, the beginning and end of all things. He is all good, all knowing, all powerful, the source of all things. He is existence himself. The devil, meanwhile, is a sulking, disobedient, malicious creature who deprived himself of his own glory by his rejection of the one who gave it to him, right? Though he cannot compare to God, the enemy's power is real. He was originally made superior even among angelic beings. No mere human power can overcome him, but his power, get ready, is also limited, right? He is only a creature. He is only a creature. So, the devil is capable of confusing the most brilliant of minds, said St. Padre Pio, right? And despite their vastly powers, demons cannot simply overthrow our minds or take control of our intellect. Freely giving in to sin makes us vulnerable to their deceptions. But when we are living a sacramental life, and seeking to please God, sanctifying grace keeps the demons at bay. The power of the demons is so great that they can manipulate material reality. This ability to interact with physical objects includes even persons. There were some saints, such as Saint Benedict of Nursia, and more recently, Saint Pio of Petrocina, who had physical altercations with demons. However, it is rare that God permits the devil to go this far. Being devious, manipulative, and a liar, the devil is not as consistent as the angels are when they appear to men. Demons can appear hideous, frightening, disgusting, and perverted. They can leave behind horrible odors, but they can also make themselves look harmless and even divine. The devil has appeared to saints in the form of an angel of light. They have presented themselves as Christ himself, good angels, or even the Blessed Mother. This is why we must never trust demons in what they say or what they do and how they appear. It is wise not to desire to see visions for ourselves, even holy ones. After all, it is not easy to determine whether what we see is indeed a holy vision, right? We don't know for sure. The devil once tried to deceive Saint Martin de Tours, right? And I won't go into that quote, but there is a quote about that, right? So it's very important that we are very careful approving any purported apparition and why she examines them so carefully, referring to the church. It might also help us to be more forgiving towards the Catholic authorities who were reluctant or determined not to believe visionaries who said they had seen the Blessed Mother. So in conclusion, we must never forget that evil spirits are powerful. At the same time, we must remember that they are subject to God's sovereignty. All right, what are we doing here? Oh, we're doing good time, right? As one Catholic author explained so concisely, the devil is permitted to test humanity only by God's authority and control and within the limits that God sets for him. Okay? The demons have already lost the ultimate battle. They know it, which is why their activity increases. That's what we see today, my dear brothers and sisters. We've had pandemic, we've had fear, isolation, right? Death, war, hunger, all kinds of catastrophes. We've seen lifestyles, we've seen all kinds of things that have been twisted. Things that were abnormal have become normal. What was up has now become down. It's horrendous. As I remember Father Goring, right? And he said, the world has gone bonkers, right? That's a nice way of putting it. The world has gone bonkers, right? All right, so their resistance will only serve God's will in the end, because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and the Lord will one day put all his enemies under his feet. God will turn their most heinous activity to eventual good. Even if we cannot see this side of heaven, how that is possible when such awful things happen. The faithful then are to be exhorted to place their confidence in God. Our most bountiful Father has commanded us to beg of him our deliverance from evil in order that his command should inspire us with the hope of obtaining the object of our prayers. So the next part I wanted to chat with you about was, and we have about 10 minutes, but how to practice resistance to demons and living free of fear and of course placing our hope in Jesus, right? So we're going to do that right now. So I have been referring to scripture, and I hope you've been writing it down for yourselves, you know, when I refer to scripture to look back on it. All right, so brothers and sisters, just as there is a wrong way to behave toward the holy angels, There's a wrong way to behave toward the demons, and we should not live in fear of them. But at the same time, we should not feel complacent towards Satan or think that we have the authority to rebuke him ourselves. No, that's why I said to you this morning when I started off our broadcast, St. Michael the Archangel, right? That's who we call upon, all right? It can be quite alarming to learn about the power of fallen angels, right? It isn't pleasant or an encouraging subject. However, we're not meant to live in fear of demons and their activity. Saint Teresa of Avila didn't. She regarded fear as useless for the soul in a state of grace. She said bluntly, "I don't understand those who cry out in fear. The devil, when we can say God, God." And she knew what she was talking about. She was frequently harassed by the devil. It frightened her at first, but eventually she lost that fear. "And so little am I afraid of them. Now that I see, they cannot stir unless the Lord allows them to. So we must have the courage in the face of evil." But there are misconceptions regarding the practice of such courage. Some people experience a burst of this personal confidence and feel that they can tell Satan off by arguing with him or making use of a verbal rebuke. But we must never dialogue with Satan or trust in ourselves when it comes to resisting his influence. Fallen angels remain formidably intelligent. Even St. Catherine of Siena, one of the church's greatest saints, knew better than to speak to Satan directly. If we experience temptation, we should not speak to the devil, even interiorly, by saying such things as, "Satan, go back to hell." Instead, we should immediately turn our eyes to Jesus and seek his grace. And while there are specific instances in which the laity have the authority to rebuke evil spirits through certain church-approved prayers, we must be extremely careful. We should only use these prayers on the advice of our spiritual directors, aka our parish priest. As a general rule, for safety's sake, rebuking the devil belongs to the apostolic authority. Through bishops and the priests, they authorize to perform exorcisms. Even St. Michael the Archangel does not command the evil spirits by virtue of his own power. Though it is immense, he refers to God, whom he serves with perfect devotion. And we see this even in sacred scripture. The letter of St. Jude hints that a mysterious struggle that took place concerning the grave of Moses. The Jews believe that Satan was attempting to make use of Moses' remains by inducing the people of God to form a cult of worship around them. All right. St. Michael's example confirms that we should never rebuke the devil ourselves. But that's not all. We must always keep our focus on the proper object by remembering our ultimate goal. We can make the mistake of putting too much emphasis on the fight against demonic temptation and influence. However, resistance is not our primary goal. Our primary goal is to draw closer to God through greater holiness. Okay? The primary purpose of all spirituality is growth in holiness or greater union with God. The closer we are to God, the safer we are from succumbing to demonic influence. It's important to keep our focus on God and not on the evil. In one sense, we are to ignore the evil one, to look right past him at Jesus. We can even be occasionally amused by the demon's antics. Every time we pay little heed to them, said St. Teresa of Avila, they lose much of their power. Holiness in Christ is its own rebuke to the devil. But in order to grow in holiness, we must remain in a state of grace. And that's only possible by making frequent use of the sacraments. Okay? That's very important. So go to church, make sure, brothers and sisters, and pray. Evil spirits abhor souls in a state of grace and are afraid of men and women who earnestly love God A holy life is the best weapon against Satan. Additionally, such things as sacramentals and holy objects used devoutly and without superstition are weapons against evil spirits. I know by frequent experience, said Teresa of Avila, that there is nothing that puts the demons to fight like holy water. So just a quick, let me see my time. Okay, we've got about 4 minutes. Evil spirits are driven back by the following things. Ready? Number one, the sign of the cross. Number two, a rosary, a blessed rosary. Number three, holy water. Number four, holy relics. And number five, blessed objects. Demons are not afraid of such things in of themselves because they have no inherent power. Rather, the holy realities that surround these objects compel demons to submit to God's authority over all creation. Right? Finally, we must remember the power of prayer. Even though we should not give in to fear of demons or give them undue attention, we should absolutely pray for protection from them, just as we should pray for the sick regularly. It's crucial to spend intentional time in quiet conversation with God. Most spiritual directors advise a minimum of 15 minutes of mental prayer each day. If there is one thing the devil wants to prevent us from doing, it's being consistent in prayer, especially because faithfulness in prayer leads to humility. So, brothers and sisters, I want to thank you again as we have talked about demons. Now, the next broadcast, we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. We'll get into that on the next one, which will be the 20th, right? The 20th. I think it's the 20th of January. Unbelievable. Wow. Anyways, brothers and sisters, I sincerely hope you're enjoying this. And if you have any thoughts you want to share, you can send them to us through email at quilt, Q-U-I-L-T, at radiomaria.ca. And as once before I said, I just want to thank you so much. Each and every time we get together, it is a blessing to be with you. And we just thank the Lord Jesus that the Holy Spirit is with us as we continue our journey on angels and the supernatural. God bless you, my friends, and have a blessed week. Thank you for joining me. Bye for now, and all the best. And a continued Merry Christmas season. Bye. I've got no